Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the study session for the University City Council on January 13th, 2020. I don't know if we any changes to the agenda. I think we may have a discussion once the meeting gets started, but any other changes to the agenda?
Yes, sir. I thought Councilman Carr would be here for the opening, but I believe.
And we'll talk about that. Is that about the?
Yes.
She'll move to continue.
Okay.
She probably, just because we're going to move to continue, she'll probably need to do that at that time.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, though. Thank you. I believe. Any other changes to the agenda? Hearing none. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council Members, in calendar year 2019, you authorized hiring ETC Institute to conduct a citizen satisfaction survey of our community. The survey asked really a basic question to our residents. What do you think of the services that we provide? Tonight, we have a representative from ETC that will present their findings. Ms. Bamberger was the major point person for the project that did the coordination, so I would ask her to introduce the presenter for tonight.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I am Allison Bamberger, Communications Director. This was a major initiative that you all approved this year, and I was really happy to have it in my first year on this job so that we could ask folks, what are we doing well, and where do you want us to do a little bit more? I was so impressed with the level of service we got from ETC and the amount of in-depth, detailed drill down that we had. We've got Ryan Murray here with ETC. He was my point person with them and really helped me understand all of the data that we have. He's going to run through some of the major findings and then some of the places where we need to maybe pay some more attention in the coming years. Overall, I think this is a really good benchmark for us. We'll come back in another 2 years, do this again, but hopefully this presentation will give you a great understanding of where we're starting today and where we hope to go in the future. Right?
All right. Thank you, Mayor and Council. I appreciate being here. It was a pleasure to work with Allison, first of all, so it's not often that we get somebody so invested in all the results, so it's nice to hear somebody excited about all this. Sometimes our points are going through the motions or they were handed this task, so it's nice to have somebody that was actually kind of seeking this information out and looking to actually help improve the community through the survey results, which is really unique. So I know that Allison said that you usually hold questions till the end, but feel free to stop me if you have any immediate questions. My name's Ryan Murray. I'm an assistant director of community research with ETC Institute. I've been with them for most of my professional career, although I'm not super old. I've got a lot of experience on just about every side of the company. So I know the results really well. I actually administered the surveys over the phone in high school, and as we moved administration methods to more mail and online, I've been there to help manage projects and do presentations and things like that. So we're a national leader in market research for local government organizations. We do these surveys yearly in about 250 communities. That includes some parks and recreation work, business surveys, employee surveys for like municipalities and things like that. The purpose of all of our surveys, for the most part, is to be objective and to gather that information from a random group of respondents from throughout the city. And we want to make sure the randomness is also representative, so we do a lot of tracking, and I'll get into that in just a moment. A lot of the survey development accounted for like questions or questions that were asked of peer communities or other communities in order to set up some really good comparisons. And I'll go through the comparative analysis and some of your comparative strengths and weaknesses that we found from some of our regional and national benchmarking in the presentation as well. And then one of the things that our owner has helped develop is a priorities investment tool. And we'll go through that, and that's really kind of the bulk of the analysis that we did besides some of the GIS maps and the drill downs and the cross tabs that we can run is really where you should be prioritizing funding and which items are going to have the greatest impact on overall livability in the community in the future. So it's the first survey we've administered for University City. Typically, communities do these every year to 2 years. The most frequent is the biennial or the every 2 year survey. Some communities go 5-10 years out and things like that, but we find that every 2 years gives communities an opportunity to really test some initiatives, some actions, change things, and they get more feedback and see where they landed. It included, again, many of the same questions asked in other communities to help validate those comparisons and make sure we had like comparisons with like question types. I already mentioned this, but it was mailed to a random sample of respondents within the community. From that, we received a random sample of respondents who participated and sent back filled out surveys. We completed a total of 600 surveys. which I think from most recent estimates, there's about 15,000 households in the community, so about 4% of respondents actually completed the survey, or 4% of households, which is actually really good. The margin of error on the results is 4%, so everything that we see has a margin of error of plus or minus 4% at the 95% level of confidence, which basically means that if we were to complete the survey 100 more times, 95 out of 100 times, we'd get these results within our margin of error, plus or minus 4% on everything. So it's pretty accurate results. Nothing is foolproof unless we went door to door and asked everybody to participate. But as being in government, you all know that's kind of unlikely, especially kind of looking at voter turnout and things like that. One thing that we do as surveys are coming in, we geocode all of the results. We want to make sure that not one particular neighborhood or group is responding heavier than any other particular group. So as you can see here, a map of the community is pretty well laid out. I think there's like a park here, some business areas down here, and another park here. So some of those areas are a little bit less scarcely populated, but as you all are familiar with your community, you know there's just not a lot of homes in those particular areas. We also geocoded the responses to the survey on maps, basically blue for positive, orange and red for negative, and I'll show you just a few of those. But as Allison mentioned, you guys have the full results, and as a part of that came an appendix that was full of GIS maps for every Likert scale or five-point scale question on the survey. Just to kind of go through some of the bottom line findings, overall, the results are really good. About 3 out of 4 respondents indicated they're satisfied with the overall quality of life and the overall quality of city services in the community. That's a 3-to-1 ratio there on positive to negative respondents, which is really good. And when we actually get into the results further, we'll actually see it's really a 7-to-1 ratio of respondents who gave satisfied responses versus those who gave dissatisfied respondents, where really we see like a 3 or 4-to-1 ratio on those types of responses. So that's really good. One thing that we do and what Allison really liked was the comparative analysis. And what we found is that in almost 60% of the items that we compared to our national average, you rated above the national average in those items. It was another 50% where you rated significantly above the national average. So that's all very good. And about 30% of the areas, we saw really significant increases. And then against the Missouri and Kansas average, which is an average of just communities here in this general region from Kansas City to St. Louis, basically in a few, just a few on the west side of the Kansas City area, you rated significantly above 52% of the areas that were compared. So those are all really good marks. Priorities for improvement, this is something Allison was just discussing. These are priorities that we find in healthier, thriving communities. Some of the priorities that I'll discuss when we go through our important satisfaction analysis are priorities that we would be shocked not to see in a community that's doing well. And some of the items that you rated really well in that aren't high priorities for improvements are those items that would really set off the alarm for us as market research professionals as to these should not be high priorities, what's really going on in the community here. So I'll run through all of the analysis that we did. But first I'll take us just through some of the general perceptions and then our benchmarking. So the general perceptions, again, as I mentioned, this is about a 7-to-1 ratio here of respondents who gave satisfied responses versus those who gave dissatisfied responses. And again, that's the overall quality of city services and the overall quality of life in the city, folks giving excellent or good responses compared to those who are giving below average or poor responses, which is really great. Again, overall satisfaction with city services received very high rankings. Sometimes in communities that I visit who score much more poorly, I kind of focus on this chart a lot. But as we can see in all my charts, the blue items are going to be those very satisfied and satisfied responses. The red is those less satisfied responses. And as we see here, lots of blue. The two items that we see more heavily negative responses are those code enforcement and city maintenance of streets. And those are really the two big ones in most communities of this size and stature. So this is pretty standard across the board. All of these ratings here are very low when you think about it. If you think that you get 10 people in a room and only one person says they're dissatisfied with the quality of customer service they're receiving from city employees, then you've definitely succeeded. And there's really not a whole lot of room to improve on that even, just because most of those neutral responses here, that 23%, are likely folks that didn't have an interaction or had just a menial interaction with a city employee at one point in time. Here's some more of our GIS maps. I'll just walk through a few of these. This is the overall quality of public safety services. Public safety services scored very high on the survey. That's why all of the cities located here is in blue or dark blue. And what that means is that the average responses for those block groups are either very satisfied or satisfied, and that's a really good sign. So the city's equitably providing public safety services throughout the city. One of our top priorities for improvements, however, is management of city streets or maintenance of city streets. And what we see is a few problem areas. These areas in orange are the areas that had average ratings of very satisfied or very dissatisfied or dissatisfied. Most of the city is neutral on this response, meaning that there's always room for improvement. But you did have a few bright spots in the community that saw these satisfied ratings. So these are all census block group averaged based on the number of respondents within that group. We did maps like this for just about every question, like I said. So it's a really nice look, for somebody in public works or the whole administration team could take a look at this and really decide where maybe they should start focusing their efforts first when construction season rolls around again. The last map that I provided was the enforcement of city codes and ordinances, the second highest priority for improvement. This is one of those tough ones, and again, a sign of a community that's performing well with residents. Code enforcement is one of those things where you've either been enforced upon or you're trying to get somebody to change their habits. So you're not always getting your way. Maybe you think your neighbor is violating a code. You complain, it doesn't change. Maybe they weren't technically violating that code, or perhaps you were the violator and you received a notification on your door in your mailbox that said you're a violator and you need to fix what you're doing. So this one's really tough. And again, another sign that the community is performing well, that this turns out to be a priority, not something like Parks and Recreation or police services. Yes?
Just a quick question. Yeah. I see two marks on what looks like olive. Is that just locators, or what are they? They're circles with those, red?
Yeah, those are just street indicators.
Okay.
I can't read them from here, but I'm not exactly sure what they are. But yeah, it should be the highway numbers. Yeah. Because this is, I think, is that I-7 or that 170 right there. So. No problem. We try to leave as little as possible on here, but just enough to give you an idea of where you're looking at, just in case you're not super familiar. And then the last thing, various of feeling safety in various situations in the community. So again, overall, a lot of blue here. The one thing that I did want to mention is that there were some folks that said they feel very unsafe. This is basically downtown at night is how we ask this question in most communities, but this was phrased in the loop at night alone, which obviously not everybody's going to feel safe walking alone in any kind of retail or area like that. So this is pretty common, nothing to be overly concerned about. A lot of times communication can be a root cause of uneasiness when it comes to safety, particularly when, and this is not the situation for University City, but particularly when local television news is the main influencer, it can have a deep impact on overall feelings of safety. And we see that primarily in our really large cities, those 250,000 residents and plus communities. So, again, something to be mindful of but not concerned about, which is good. Yes, sir.
excuse me. In the top of that chart, you say that excluding the don't knows.
Yes, sir.
And earlier you said that the gray areas don't really matter because the respondents were usually people that didn't have any information. But if you're excluding the don't knows on this and the people in the gray area, when you add those with the people in the red area, that's pretty significant on the bottom and towards the bottom there.
Yeah, somewhat unsafe is actually the rating on this chart and not neutral. So there is no neutral response for this particular question. So there is some unsafety ratings. But again, we ask this question this particular way. Wherever we ask this question, the safety question is always a four-point scale. And again, we as consultants don't see major issues with this question or with this rating, I would say. But you are right. I mean, over half of folks indicated they feel somewhat unsafe or very unsafe in the community, in the loop alone at night. So you are correct. But most of the ratings are very good here. It's, again, just that perception of being downtown or in an area like that alone at night is kind of the main indicator here. So when we'll talk about our comparative analysis next, I could have shown you tons of charts about how well you did, put all these arrows on them and everything, but I consolidated that. There's a few key findings from this. Basically, you're performing very well here. All of these green arrows just show that you're significantly above the average, the U.S. average for all these ratings. The gray bar is the Missouri-Kansas average, the green bar is the U.S. average, and then University City's ratings are in blue. The two top priorities for improvements, the areas where you're closest to both of the averages, are those top priorities for improvements, again, city streets and code enforcement. Something to be mindful of is that given our margin of error on these, you're really not that far off from the average, and that's really where the comparative analysis really can help us out. So 46%, some people might say, well, hey, that's below 50, that's a failing grade, or somebody may see it that way. But in all reality, communities in the same region as you, even like communities to you, are also rating in that 48% range. So it's not a failing grade, it's just a perceptions grade, and how you compare to other communities is really more important than the overall rating and this particular item. And again, that's code enforcement, which is a tough one, again, because you're either being enforced upon or you're trying to enforce on somebody else. And then overall maintenance of city streets, you're actually marking the U.S. average and above the regional average, which is really good. Last year, we saw some of the lowest regional averages for this item. We got hit with snow really hard last winter, all the way through the spring and the fall. It was really tough for all communities, and some of our highest performing communities even saw sharp declines in this particular rating, and it hit our U.S. rating and our local rating pretty hard, so to show a 42% there is pretty positive, although there should be some investment made into the maintenance and continued maintenance of city streets. So comparative benchmarking. Here is the U.S. average. I highlighted some of the three main key points that I kind of took away from your comparative benchmarks, and this is the same for the Missouri-Kansas average for the most part. What we find is customer service provided by city employees, effectiveness of communication, and how quickly police respond to emergencies are really three of the key services that you ranked above the U.S. average in that are really key service indicators or like those key result indicators that we call them. Customer service provided by city employees is another similar item to codes enforcement where folks will call in with a question, problem, or complaint. Your city staff can either answer the question and resolve effectively or have a positive interaction with that employee or with that resident. The person can have a complaint, and sometimes those can be mitigated. But sometimes questions are asked of the city or requests are asked of the city where the city's employee's hand is just tied. I want the city to come out and fix a county road or to fill potholes on county roads in front of my house. Well, the city cannot actually do most of that type of work. So and I would say that the University City is really setting the standard for the delivery of customer service to employees, and we'll see that just because the U.S. average and the Missouri-Kansas average, it's both significantly above those averages. And to be able to put yourself on that pedestal and put yourself up there, all city staff should really receive a kudos for that. That's something that not all communities can really pat themselves on the back and say that we did that. And that's another one of those code enforcement-like items where you can't resolve every phone call and complaint and visit to City Hall to satisfaction. But to be able to do it as much as you did to receive these types of ratings is really positive. Some of the comparative weaknesses, one thing is immediately going to be hopefully remedied is the city website. You were both below the national and U.S. average, the Missouri-Kansas and U.S. average for the quality of the city's website. But I think next Monday, is that right? Hopefully we'll be fixing that issue. In the short term, you'll likely receive some complaints, but if people weren't overly satisfied to start with, you'll likely see some increases in satisfaction to start. The other thing that we saw was the redevelopment, managing redevelopment, new commercial development, both saw significantly lower ratings than our averages for the most part. But again, that's really a perception thing. And I'll talk about communications in just a moment. And I think a strong communications plan and ensuring that the city is the main point of contact for most city communications can really help quell some of that and help really redirect the idea that redevelopment's not going well by just ensuring that the city is the main point of contact. Yes.
Could you, on the managing redevelopment, do you have an idea of where that's coming from due to the fact that we have spent a lot of our time and resources on doing a very large redevelopment in the northwest corner of our city? Yep. And I'm just curious if it's something that is those results are across the entire city, or if there are folks who are going to be impacted by that particular development.
We can look at the map. I actually have the map on me, or you can look at it yourself. We can also run some crosstabs, and I can meet with Allison to run some of those crosstabs to see if it's maybe age-related or particularly city council district-related. And yes, go ahead.
I was going to share with the mayor and council. Normally, this question also addresses kind of the look of the city. So someone could just look on Olive and say, you know, that's ripe for redevelopment, and, you know, why aren't things happening there? So it's not just a situation of maybe one project. It's more global.
Yeah. A local community to us, Shawnee, Kansas, is they do their survey every year. They're currently redeveloping their down to basically their loop, and it's a mess. The road is normally two lanes on each side. It's now one lane right in the center on each side. All of the storefronts are pretty much just torn apart, and there's scaffolding everywhere. And they received abysmal ratings for this particular item. And we expect it to go up once it's done, but really I think it's just the idea that you're driving through and it doesn't look really great right now. And you're like, same with road construction. When is this ever going to end? And this is a survey that's done. It's a perception of time when the survey's taken. It was taken, I think the survey was approved in July, so it was taken just right after that into September and October. So it's really just a perception of time. And again, doing this in a couple of years will give us an idea of whether or not that redevelopment makes a difference. And then priorities for investment. So we talked about satisfaction quite a bit. What we didn't talk about is that we always ask a question asking respondents to kind of put their money where their mouth is and indicate to us which ones are most important to them or which ones should receive the highest priority for investment. So we find that folks can either be on that neutral side or overstate their satisfaction or dissatisfaction with an item, and we kind of all bring it back down to earth by asking the importance. And then we meld those two together to get our priority investment ratings or our important satisfaction ratings. In the report, it's portrayed a little bit differently as like a high, medium, and low. I find for these types of meetings, it's a little bit easier just to view it as in colors. And I kind of highlight things just slightly different than we do in our reports. And the reason is that I can kind of give some context to the highlights. So the items in that highlight pink and red, those are the high priorities for improvement. The items that are going to have the greatest impact on overall satisfaction with the overall delivery of city services over the next couple of years. Those items in yellow are those items that should continue to receive attention, but they're not going to have a great impact unless you see significantly lower satisfaction levels. So if we completely cut funding for one of these services, for example, the overall effectiveness of city communication with citizens, if we completely delete the website and stop handing out the newsletter, you're going to see this item at the top of the list in 2 years. If we continue to maintain the website, redevelop the website, keep the newsletter flowing, this item should stay below that 0.1 threshold for a high priority for improvement. Those items at the very bottom, very important to respondents, but also receive very high satisfaction ratings and aren't going to have a great impact on the overall perception of the city, even if satisfaction ratings increase greatly in those particular items, those three items down there at the bottom. And that's Parks and Recreation, which you're performing very well in, maintenance of city buildings and facilities, just an item that not your everyday citizen has a lot to do with. They're not here every day or having to deal with these types of facilities every day. And then, again, customer service you receive from city employees. Everybody's very satisfied with that. And it's lower on their importance scale, probably because the city's doing so well. For those people that are more left-brained, that don't prefer lists, prefer more visuals, this is a really good chart. We made these to accompany each one of the tables. This is our priority importance matrix. Those items in the lower right-hand quadrant here are the items, the opportunities for improvement, those items that need to be improved in order to increase satisfaction. In the top right, those are items that should receive continued emphasis. Those are typically our public safety items, items that received really good ratings, but are also super important to respondents, so we need to make sure to maintain them. And then luckily, University City falls a lot of their items right into this category, which means it's lower importance and you're still receiving high levels of satisfaction. So if you have any questions, there's a whole section on this in the report, and it also has the methodology and how to read these tables. This is public safety services. Just efforts to prevent crime was the top priority for this item. Again, a communications issue. Most respondents and most citizens don't understand what the city's doing every day to prevent crime. So just increasing the visibility of police and retail in neighborhood areas, and also just making sure that you're communicating to residents what you're doing and how you're doing it can really be fruitful in helping this particular item. Some of the other items that are high priorities are the visibility of police in neighborhoods, retail areas, and just what I was saying, just increase the visibility. You can help bring that prevention dissatisfaction down. and then police department engagement within the community. Again, not a lot of people are out there trying to engage with the police force, but when we put ourselves out there and we ask the question, we do get perceptions of how they're being engaged right now. So particularly more community events and things like that can kind of help that particular item. Luckily here, a lot of the police services and public safety services rated very low on this chart. So again, a lot of items folks are just overly satisfied with, and they aren't of super high importance. City maintenance and public works, condition of sidewalks, adequacy of residential street lighting are really the two big ones here. Snow removal on major city streets, again, probably just a little bit of hangover from last year when we did get pounded with snow quite a bit. And then tree trimming replacement program. That's something not everybody has, so that's kind of a unique thing to University City and a few other communities nationally. So that's something that is a high priority, likely a communications issue, again, just people not quite understanding what the program is. And we do have a local community that's very tiny. It's about half the size of University City back home. They asked this question and had really big troubles with it, two surveys in a row, and they do it yearly. They had a really robust communication effort to try to tell people what it really was, explain the rules and the regulations of it, and the negative ratings leveled off after a couple years. So it took some work, but they were able to do it. Parks and Recreation, there are some high priorities here, just maintenance, quality of walking, biking trails and paths, city's youth fitness programs, all things that are pretty easy to try to tackle, at least in the forefront. Number of walking and biking trails is one of those items that if we don't continue to emphasize will likely be in that red group eventually, and we do so many parks and recreation surveys that we have a pretty good feel on this one. It's not necessarily the number of walking and biking trails in the community and in the parks, it's more of their connectivity and how they connect the community to retail and shopping areas. Folks like to understand that they can kind of hop on a trail and get from one place to another without maybe having to use their car. They can take their family on a walk without having to jump in the minivan or something like that. So this item, not so much the number of them, but how they connect and interconnect the community is really important for that particular item. So communication. This is something I study quite a bit at work. We ask these questions, and they've just been more and more developed. I think we stole this from the city of Clayton. I think we developed it with them, and we used it here. And it's proven pretty useful. It gives us a lot more in-depth analysis than just, you know, how are you getting your information. So first we asked respondents how often they use particular methods of information to receive information about the city. We found that the newsletter was highly, you know, the most common method, which is great. We find that communities that don't use the newsletter are more so frequent social media sites have lower levels of satisfaction throughout their surveys. So this is really positive. When we asked about the effectiveness of those items, it was, again, the newsletter followed by Nextdoor, and the Parks Recreation Guide, and then the city's website. Where we bring it back again like we did with the importance ratings to combine with the satisfaction ratings, we asked which ones do they most prefer to use. And, again, we found the newsletter. Which just says to us that more investments in the newsletter can only be more fruitful, not only for communication, but also for just informing folks about some of the other items that are top priorities for improvement throughout the survey. The city website, again, you're going to have a redesign on that, but nearly half of folks indicated that they prefer to get information about the city and what you all are doing from the city, which is really positive. They're not searching on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. They'd much prefer to go to a centralized source that the city curates for them. So that's really positive. And with that, it's just basically a summary. Overall, the city is performing very well, and I think that everybody should be really proud of city management and leadership and the job that the council continues to do. One of the things that's really important to understand is that nobody ever gets perfect scores in any of these items. You're never going to please everybody. You're never going to send out 10 surveys and receive all 10 with positive satisfaction ratings. So to send out like 2,500 and to get 600 back that said these were our ratings or this is how we perceive the city is really positive, and everybody should be really proud of that. So with that, I'll take your question. Or if Mayor.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe, and thank you for your presentation. Yeah. Couple of quick things. Mm-hmm. In looking at the location of survey respondents,
yeah.
I'm looking at the distribution of dots, and I'm assuming one dot does not necessarily equal a home.
No, the results are geocoded, but not to their home.
Right, to the general area.
It's okay. To the actual. So if you're
block,
it's so if you're 123 Main Street, you're going to be recorded to 100 Main Street.
Okay.
So some of them are going to be centralized into like intersections usually.
Okay. In looking at the dispersion, you know, my colleagues will not be shocked, I was paying attention to the Third Ward and that respondent dispersion. And the Third Ward is denser than the other wards, so even though the dots don't look significantly less, just from a concentration perspective, it is less. But I understand that is what that is. That is what it is for this year, but always keeping in mind how can we increase that participation coming out of that area. So that's more for the staff, really, than you as a consultant.
Yeah. And if could I speak to that just real fast? So next time we can do sampling by ward. This time we did not do that. So, understanding that some of those items here, we can sample by ward, get population by ward, and then ensure that there's a representative sample by ward versus city. So we just did a stratified random sample of city boundaries only this time. But we can change that next time.
I would be interested in that.
Great.
But a conversation to follow up on. Second, the plan for frequency, and I guess this is more to City Manager Rose of this.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I normally recommend that the council include funding for a survey every 2 years because it gives the staff an opportunity to make recommendations to address what the findings are within the survey. And it takes about a year to have an impact.
And finally, and this may be more of a question for City Manager Rose, but I think this is a tremendous first step, and I appreciate it being taken. I would be interested to get the perspective of those that are more frequent users of city services or had a unique kind of issue, because I'm imagining, as my colleagues know, most citizens don't really interact with the city a whole lot. Maybe once in a blue moon something happens. Most folks are just kind of living their lives and doing their thing. But for example, contractors who work frequently in University City, I'd love to get their perspective on public works. I would love to get the perspective of residents who may have had a more complicated issue that they had to work with the city on. I think that would give another piece of data that I think might be even more instructive than this.
Yeah. And just to speak to that as well, we do a contractor survey with the City of Austin. They provide us a list of every contractor that's worked with the city within the last 2 years. We survey a appropriate sample of those folks. Adding just a few, and again, Allison thought of this as more of a benchmark. Where are we today, and where should we go tomorrow? But these points are great because this will help us structure the next survey, including just a few yes-no questions. Have you used? Have you been a part of? When's the last time you frequented a meeting? As you can see, there's primarily staff and council here today. So most people don't visit meetings, but having just those simple yes-no questions can help us break the results out by those types of users and then deliver those results that way as well. So those are really great points.
Honorable Mayor, Councilmember Clay, I think we have an opportunity to survey stakeholders in specific areas. For example, the developers that build in University City, they will have a better understanding of what our development process is like, and we can establish a survey for them. Individuals that have had experience with, pick a department, we will have an opportunity to survey them. One in particular for that, the intention is to provide cards at the front desk where residents, as they are having an experience with our staff, can simply pick up a card, and that card will eventually come to the city manager's office, so I will see it firsthand. So this is just the start of our, I would say, surveying the community about our services, but it's not by no means the end.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I hit my light late. One of my questions has to do with the overall satisfaction with city services.
Yep.
Excuse me. And the what specifically, or did the survey ask people what specifically they were dissatisfied with or satisfied with concerning the city streets and overall maintenance of city streets? Or was it just a blanket statement, are you satisfied with the streets? Specifically, what were the issues when it comes to streets and maintenance and also with the codes and ordinances, building and housing, overall property maintenance issues? Were there specific questions
I mean, did they have categories, or was it just one blanket statement or one question?
Yeah, so the overall question is here, overall maintenance of city streets, overall enforcement of city codes. There were two, I believe there was a code subsection, I know for sure, a street maintenance and public works subsection that asked more, more like adequacy of sidewalks and not just streets or snow removal and things like that. So we do have some sub-questions. But again, it's nice to see a council more engaged in this process than we typically see to add those questions next time. What we ask this question for is to then follow up within each one of these categories throughout the survey with sub-questions. So group questions about city streets or group questions about the effectiveness of communication. And then to get a better understanding, and we can do some gap analysis with those particular items to understand what is really the root cause to the dissatisfaction with the city streets. So we can do some of the analysis. Next time, if we kind of create a more robust section there, understanding it's a top priority, we can do that gap analysis and really get to the root cause of the dissatisfaction there. The survey didn't get too in-depth, and again, this was Allison's idea of a benchmark or where do we go from here. And these are the types of ideas that really help the survey be more informative and more of a planning tool rather than just kind of a here you go. So you're welcome.
I just have a quick question, and I think this is actually a question for City Manager Rose. Looking at the overall quality of public safety services, and this is just something that I wondered if you thought about doing just an overlay of what crime statistics are with this, because I kind of find this blue area interesting that they're very satisfied with the overall quality of public safety. So I just wanted to, you know, kind of compare the real crime statistics with what this is indicating, if you could. And because I kind of find this a little surprising. So,
Mayor, Councilmember Smotherson, we can certainly put together. I'm saying we can. I don't see Chief Hampton, but we can figure out how to do an overlay that identifies the statistics in a particular area and compares that to the satisfaction survey.
And that particular item was both police and fire combined, and you'd be hard-pressed to find a community that rates fire on the low end. So again, something to think about for next time, maybe breaking those out. City of Olathe, if anybody has any contacts there, if not, we were very familiar with the City of Olathe. They merge all of their crime statistics with our survey results. So they have a really nice front user-facing system that you can go through and see crime statistics right next to this. It's really helpful.
Mayor, if I could just very quickly wrapping this up, I did want to remind you that you're already taking steps to address the issues that have been identified as areas for improvement. Certainly with the addition of the two individuals for code enforcement, we think that we will be stronger there. Redevelopment, as you mentioned, Mayor, we are investing a lot of funds and resources into that, so I think that that will improve as well. Street maintenance, you will see in our as a part of our budget process, I'll be recommending additional funding in that area. I think today we certainly receive a number of calls asking about when will various streets be overlaid. Our intention is to try and speed up that process.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mayor.
Well, do we have time to do anything? We have about 15 minutes.
No, we could probably do one or two of them.
All right. Is that all right? If everybody will move to, excuse me, could I have a motion to go into closed session under Missouri Revised Statute 610.021, legal actions, litigation of a body. Is there so moved by Mr. Smotherson, seconded by Ms. Carr. Ms. Reese, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Carr.
Aye.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Aye.
Councilmember Hale.
Aye.
Councilmember Clay.
Aye.
Councilmember Cousin.
Aye.
Mayor Crow.
Aye. Thank you very much.